Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. It's Troy Dooley. I'm hosting this show, and I tell you, it's a great Thursday morning. You know, if you guys follow us on this show, then you know that on Thursday mornings, I hang out with a group of guys at Harbor Docks. And, man, it was a blast. It's one of those days where you're getting into the winter months, so the humidity and the heat, you know, you got cooler air than you do water, so the fog comes up. And we were just hanging out and having a heyday. And one of the neatest things about this is we've got a cool guy that hangs out with us. He's not a businessman. He's not in school. As a matter of fact, he doesn't have a job at all. He's in a wheelchair. And today, he said something so profound. And before I get into Alan's book, I just want to share this because I think this sets up a perspective. Now, I'm going to give you the backstory. Ryan's a young kid. He's in his early 20s. A year ago, living a life that every 20-year-old basically lives, rocking it out, having fun, getting in with the wrong crowd. And one day down here on the island across from the swamp, sitting in a car, he had his last memories, looking out the window, and then the next thing you know, he's in a coma because somebody came up and shot him and put a bullet in his brain. Now, for whatever reason, God spared his life. He was in a coma for several months. They said he would be a vegetable. His mom did not believe that. And today he comes and he hangs out with us, going to therapy, getting his motor skills back, tells stories. And he sat there and he said, you know what, Pastor Eric? He said, when you shared the story about being shot and how you don't know what your future is going to be like, I could relate to that. And it brings a tear to your eye because there's so many people out there today griping and moaning. And here's a kid that I get to hang out with on Sundays and Thursdays, with a bullet still lodged in his brain, who understands what the power of a second chance is and how you've got to give credit to something, somebody bigger than you are. The doctors say he may never get back those minutes right before the bullet hit his brain. This crime, this attempted murder may go unsolved forever. For whatever reason, probably because it was a 22, nobody heard the shots. Nobody's coming forward. Ryan can't even remember why somebody would want to shoot him. But yet here he was, hanging out with a bunch of guys, saying, thank you, God, for a second chance. Now, if that doesn't bring motivation, I don't know what does. You know, the economy can suck, everything can suck, but to rock it out with somebody that loves life like Ryan does. He hangs out with the band members from Heritage. It's a local band. Actually, it's a regional band now. They play some good reggae, good rock and roll, and they come hang out with us on Thursday mornings. It just kicks butt to see these guys. Today, we're in Chapter 9 of Alan Fine's book, You Already Know How to Be Great. What do you do when? Now, this is for all of us. Now, we got to look at this. You know, we can all come out and second-guess ourselves. We can all come out and say, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do when we enter into these different situations? And that's great because that's what this chapter is about. It's about being able to look at every different scenario and ponder it in your mind. Think about how you will react. Alan gives us a lot of ideas, and I'm going to throw some perspective in here because this is what sets us apart. Now, I got to tell you something before I get into this, and I better do it real quick. We've got a show scheduled tomorrow. I'm going to change that show. We're going to add it to next week because after the radio show today, I've got an appearance, the final appearance on our custody case for our grandchild, our granddaughter. So we're going to be taking off to get up to Alabama and to meet with our attorneys and get ready for this final court hearing, which will be in the morning at 9 o'clock when this show is supposed to happen. So we're going to skip tomorrow's show, but you want to be here on Monday. Because not only will we be sharing the show, I will share the disposition, the final disposition in this case, which is you're going to meet my granddaughter. She's a remarkable young lady. She's almost 19 months old and running around here with her other two cousins who are 2 years old each. Oh, just beautiful kids. You're going to love this. Let's get in today. Let's look how Alan opens up this chapter. Although the inside-out approach is simple and most people are able to implement it immediately, there are times when you have to deal with a particularly difficult issue or you just get stuck. You know, and we all have gone through this if we're coaches at all. We all get to a hard-headed man. I know as parents I do. I've raised three boys, and each one of them are different, but they're each hard-headed. So now we're going to sit down and we're going to look at this. Let's look about creating accountability. Now, here's the first question. The people I'm trying to help say, I can't come up with any goals or I can't come up with any options. You're the coach. You tell me what to do. Now, this would be a particular hard situation. This is the first time when you're probably dealing with somebody who's never done a business plan, never focused on what their purpose is in life, don't know what a mission statement or a purpose statement is, and you're trying to set them down with goals. They even may be people that actually know how to set goals, but because of past failures, because of resolutions or goals that weren't made, because of rejection where somebody said, I told you so, in their mind, they've said, I'm never doing this again. No way. Tell me what to do. That's the phrase of a follower. Tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Don't ask me to go out on a limb. I don't want to get spanked or anything like that. Just tell me what to do. Listen to what Alan writes here. One of the main purposes of the inside-out approach is to help people accept responsibility for their own performance. That's when they really get engaged. That's when they stop blaming or accusing and begin to tap into their own faith, fire, and focus. So a helpful conversation might go something like this. You want me to tell you what would be best to help you become a high performer? Yeah, that's right. Okay, I believe that the one most important thing that you can do to become a high performer is to learn how to decide for yourself what your goals are. You need to get beyond me having to tell you what your goal should be. Now you have a dilemma. You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. Now this is straightforward, hard talk, but here's what happens. We try to placate people. We try to be politically correct. We try to make everybody feel good with what they do. You cannot do that, folks, not in a coaching situation. This cotton-picking crap that we hear all the time about everybody gets a trophy, everybody's a winner. You've heard me say this before. That is not accurate. You have a winner. You're going to have folks that are leaders. You're going to have those that accept responsibility. And those that don't, once they determine, not you determine, once they determine, I am not going to be accountable for my actions. You cut the rope, you let them go, you explain to them that there's nothing that you can do because they will not take responsibility. Don't kill yourself over this. Let me stop for a second. That's also what you have to do with adulthood. I had to do that with Josh probably earlier than any of my other boys. When he finally would not, I mean, we started at 14, 15, 16, 17, and I kept saying, Josh, in a year you're going to turn 18. If you don't start taking responsibility for the crimes that you commit and you continue down this path, there will be a price that you'll have to pay eventually. The law of diminishing returns will catch up with you. He turns 18. The minute he turned 18, his juvenile record was sealed. Within a year, as an adult, he started getting hit with felonies. Today at 27, he's finally taken responsibility. He's been in prison for over 2 years. He's had some phenomenal courses that he's taken, anger management, acceptance. He's taken courses from Franklin Covey. He's taken courses from John Maxwell. He's taken theology courses. He's starting to learn what responsibility is. Sadly, it took a long time, but eventually he found out. I remember just the other day he said to me, Dad, Had they put me in prison when I was a juvenile, I don't think I would have continued down the path that I was on. Folks, we've got to look at this. Sometimes you've got to cut that string and say, you have to accept responsibility. Here's another question. Someone I'm trying to help can't see beyond the self-criticism. They keep saying, I'm not qualified. I don't have skills. I just can't do this. Now, here's the key. Listen to what Alan writes here. The key to working with someone who is paralyzed by some limiting belief, whether the person is being overpowered by a gorilla that's on their back, you've all heard the monkey on your back syndrome, they're stuck in some unproductive story, they're using the wrong questions with the guy, it doesn't matter. What we have to do as a coach using the inside-out approach is to help them get in touch with reality, and here's the big one, and the consequences of different choices. Let me share a situation. For some of you, this will be brand new. You didn't know this, and it hasn't been made public, and basically it's because my attorney called and told me I had to go out of town. So I haven't had a chance to make all this public. You're going to hear it first on the radio show. My son Dalton came to me last week. We sit down, and he said, Dad, I'm not going to be doing this Home Depot thing very much longer, if not at all. I said, why? He said, because I really figured out that I want to follow your path of being in business for myself. I said, okay, that makes sense. Of all my boys, you're the one that seems to be more apt to do that than anything. He said, I found a company that you've started doing some reviews on that I would like to join. It's right up my alley. But I wanted to come to you because I don't want to cause you any problems in direct selling in the role that you play. Accepting responsibility, telling me what he's going to be doing, but also letting me know that he already realizes there's consequences. I said, all right, shoot. He tells me what company he wants to join. There's only one company like this in network marketing, so that worked out great. It's a service-based company, not a product-based company. That worked out great, no problem there. He said, I want you to help me. And that's where my dilemma comes in, Dad. I know I'm not qualified for certain things in this company. I know I'm not qualified to do certain things. I don't have, Dad, the longevity of building a network marketing business. My one small team that I've had has been small, and I've not earned more than $1,000 a month at any given time. I said, okay. He said, would you help me? Knowing your role that you play in network marketing? There was no hesitation. I was so proud of the way he's raised. His mom has done a wonderful job. I said, yes, son, I will help you, but before I do the rest of the reviews on this company, I will have to make a public proclamation and a public statement letting people know that you're going to be with this company. The owner and I have gotten to be pretty good friends. This week, my son started in his position with that company. He started fixing his profiles on Facebook and doing some stuff. And a couple of other leaders in that company contacted me, one in particular. And he asked two very important questions. One was, Troy, there's no doubt he's your son. You're going to start helping him, correct? I said, absolutely. He said, the other question that he asked me, if you were me, would you ask to be moved underneath your son? And I said, absolutely not. If you're given a choice, you need to follow your heart, not look at maybe where more money's going to be at. Follow your heart. You have a great role. You have a great title. You have a great position with this company. There's only a handful that are going to be where you're at. Go for it. Now, I share this story because listen to the question again. Someone I'm trying to help can't get beyond the self-criticism. I'm not qualified. I don't have the skills. I can't do this. Dalton is very skillful in a variety of ways, and he can learn to lead a direct selling team. I've watched him lead small organizations like crazy. I watch him lead volunteers at Catalyst. He is not a natural-born leader. He grew into it, actually. I'm proud of him. But in his case, he knew that he was not qualified and had to ask for help. But see, in this situation, what we have to do is we have to help people who are paralyzed. at saying I'm not qualified for the position. Now here's the kicker, and this is where I'm gonna segue this through. After talking with the owner of this company, the owner said, I want to offer Dalton one of 8 positions as a founding presidential director with my company, Troy, if that's okay with you. I said, sure. I think it would be great. He knows that I will help Dalton with this endeavor. When the gentleman, my friend, called me on the phone and said, Troy, why did they offer him that position? Instead of putting him under my downline or somebody else's downline, I gave him the only answer that I actually could. I said, because of his dad. It wasn't because Dalton had earned it yet. It's because the owner of this company knew who his dad was and that his dad would help him build this organization. I said, I don't want that to sound egotistical. It's just a fact. It's the same reason that we see Miley Cyrus having the success that she had early on. It wasn't because everybody knew she could sing, that she could act. It's because Billy Ray Cyrus was her dad. When I was at last weekend on ICE's radio, when we had Bob Budine on the show, it was fun to listen to him because he said, Troy, when you can help your friends and your family and they're qualified, or they have the support around them that they need to become qualified, then you make sure they are in a position where they can help people. Folks, this is what this question is about. You can help them face the reality that they do have options. They can learn. They can get beyond this, oh my gosh, I'm not qualified. If Dalton felt like he was not qualified, he would have never have come to me and said, can you help me in this area? He didn't ask for help in every area. Here's another one that I think is great. The person I'm trying to help sees her situation as completely hopeless. I had a young lady Saturday night that I told you about yesterday. She was being abused verbally and physically by a man. At that moment, was crying, was shaking. She felt hopeless. When you're coaching somebody like this, the first objective is to shift the belief from it can't be done to maybe there's a possibility. See, Alan is so good. It's the questions that we ask. It's shifting them beyond where they're at right that second. See, there is no situation in life that is hopeless if we can just get a little bit new perspective, if somebody can help us. Alan writes, what you're trying to do is get at the mechanism that's causing this person to say, here's an event, here's how I'm interpreting it, this is how it's filtering from the following events. See, it's our past experiences that in most cases dictate how we see the future. And if we can help people get through that, the sky is the limit on where their potential is. That's why I said early on, the only time that you give up, that you cut the strings, is when somebody will not accept accountability. I'll never forget the night that Josh and I had our final talk for several years. He had disobeyed one small guideline that I had, and that was to be in that night at 10 o'clock. Instead, he had not called, he had not answered his cell phone, he had not come in until midnight. I went back and I said, son, you violated for the last time my guidelines. If you're not going to abide by the guidelines that I have set, then you cannot live in this house. He made the choice. He walked out the door. And from the age of about 17 to 21 or 22, we did not talk, nor did I see him. There are times when people will do that. But here's another situation that we all will run across. Listen to this. In coaching myself, I find it difficult to hold myself accountable. Nobody else really knows what I do, and it's easy to let myself slide. I'm going to steal one of John Maxwell's favorite phrases. There are no Lone Rangers, period. End of conversation. There are no Lone Rangers. We all must be accountable at one step or the other. Listen to what Alan writes. The point is that we all need a little help now and then to hold ourselves accountable, and involving someone else, perhaps a coach, a peer, a family member, or a friend, is one of the ways to do it. Another way is to clarify what you really want. In the end, you almost always get what you want. So if you're not following through on a commitment, you probably want something else more than you want to follow through on this specific thing. Every week, we hold each other accountable at our men's group. It's not every day that a pastor will lay down in front of people and talk about, hey, dude, I'm having problems with my wife, or I'm having problems with my kids, or anything like that. We have such a bond, this group of guys, that we have our pastor's back. Our pastor's an old druggy hippie dude. His first youth group that he was leading, he fell into. He just started going to church, didn't know that that there were kind of like guidelines on even how to be a youth pastor. They just said, hey, do you want to be a youth pastor? Sure. So, you know, he's getting drunk, smoking a little dope on a Saturday, and trying to lead a youth group on a Sunday. I mean, it's one of those kind of things. He's not this perfect preacher that we sometimes see on TV. He just shares. That's why our church is called Church for the Real World. They don't even call him the founding pastor. He's like the head honcho dude because they work as a team. He holds himself out there. He knows that he can't do it on his own, so he comes to us. I know I can't do it on my own, so I go to him. See, you've got to have this inner circle. Bob Bodine, we talked about this last Friday. He said you need the 12-3-1 rule. You want 12 people in your inner circle, powerful people, people that you can go to with questions. You want 3 of those people who are probably going to end up being your closest allies. 1 will become your confidant. Reminds me of Jesus. That's where he took that from. But it also reminded me of The Godfather. See, in The Godfather trilogy, you have the capos, the people that you can trust, the people that are running the smaller crews. Then you have your top guys that you trust, your top 3. And then you have the consigliere. They're the ones that you go to privately and say, here's what I need to have happen. Here's what I'm thinking. What do you think? 2 extremes, the Bible and organized crime. Holy moly, Troy, but you know what? You're going to fall somewhere in between. When you're having issues, when you can't be accountable, you're not following through, you need somebody that will boldly look in your eye and say, dude, you are screwing it up. And you get past that. You move through it. What gets people through, here's what Alan writes, what gets people through failure to follow through is getting very clear about what they want and how much they want it, whether or not they're willing to pay the price. I use a very descriptive story. I used this for years, probably stole it from Bill Stewart, top leader in Primerica. But I would have people all the time that would sit in front of me and say, we just couldn't talk to people today. We didn't know who to call. We didn't invite anybody to the meeting. It's not going the way we planned. I said, okay. I said, let me ask you a question, Bill. If I brought your daughter in here and I pull a gun out of my pocket and I put it to her head and tell you, unless you find me $50,000 in 5 hours, I'm going to blow her away. What would you do? He said, man, I'd find the $50,000. I said, exactly. And until you get that kind of commitment on changing your financial life, until you get that kind of commitment on taking your life to a different level, until you decide that Primerica is the way that you're going to build your financial legacy, you're not going to do it. You're not going to take and go that extra mile. Okay, this happens in anything in life, guys. If you're married to a wonderful, beautiful, loving woman, but every time you go out, you want to get with somebody else, well, here's what's going to happen. You're not really totally committed to that woman. You're still not sure she's the one. You're still not sure, well, maybe that's the way I should do it. Anything in life is that way. That's the toughest thing. But that's what that's the reality of this, is that we have to be held accountable. When we can't do it by ourselves, which most of the time we can't, okay, we're not hermits, then what you have to do is get some help. Here's the last one we're going to cover, and this book is full of these. You need to buy Alan's book. You already know how to be great. Okay, it's phenomenal. But here's this one. Listen, sometimes it's hard for me to see other people's potential, and that throws me back to the outside-in approach. Just listen to me. Do as I say. Man, we can all fall into that, especially as dads, men. We want to tell our kids something over and over and over and over, and finally we say, look, just do what I say. We don't want to use the inside-out approach. We don't do this even for people on our team. See, this is, again, it goes back to one of my frustrations in direct selling with systems. We teach people to rely on the systems instead of themselves. Early on, this is good. Early on, this holds them accountable. Sadly, we don't build accountability of leadership into these systems so they become reliant on them. A lot of times, the systems are built around the leader's personality. This is where it gets hard and tentative for people. Here's what happens. The system's growing great. The guy on the team's excited. It's working for him. He's got some confidence. And the leader who owns the team, who the whole system is built around his or her personality, they leave the company. And the system is disbanded. And the person that is there that was almost making it is gone. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it. So what happens? We sit there and look at them and we say, just do what I tell you to do. Just do what I tell you to do. Just do what I tell you to do. We don't get the fact that they can't do what we tell them to do because of interference. If we teach people to get rid of their interference, not to rely on systems and all that crap, no matter what it is in life, to rely on knowing that there's interference in their life and they need to remove it so that they can move forward, now we can see their true potential. I had a situation where I went through this with somebody. It's like, why can't they see their own potential? And I thought, you know what? Now I'm having problems seeing their potential. Because I'm getting into the same dogma that they're into. But yet, if we will take our time and we will look at it, the fact that everyone has potential. Everyone. This is how Alan writes this. I love this. Everyone has potential, has the potential, got to put my spectacles back on, to perform better because everyone has the phenomenal ability to learn. We were all born with it. Every person in the organization you may have transferred out because you thought it was a disaster has the potential to win. See, there's never been a test, nor will there ever be a test. I just stole that phrase from Art Williams. That can measure the heart of a person where the potential is hidden inside. Once you tap that potential, once you understand the full inside out approach using GROW, the potentials will start to flow like fireworks. It will be an amazing situation. Folks, thank you so much for being on the show. Remember, tomorrow we will not have a show. We will be back here Monday morning on Radio for Your Mind. We're going to be in the chapter, this is good, the faith behind the focus and the fire. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back with me Monday morning for Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.